Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray and Anna Singh. Join us on our writing journey. So welcome, Marielle Smith.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to Diving Into Writing and our first interview.
Good to be here, and I'm really honoured that I'm going to be your first interviewee.
Well, Anna's not around because of the virus. We're not allowed to meet and be together.
Very smart decision.
So I thought that we could start by you telling us a little bit about yourself.
That's always a nice question. I never know what to say. Well, my name is Marielle Smith. I currently live in Cyprus. I'm originally from the Netherlands. I usually tell people I write. I'm an editor. I'm a writing coach.
So you've got your own business then?
Yes, I've got my own editing and coaching business. I just celebrated 6 years of that.
That is a good length of time to know what you're doing.
Yes. And it's also like I started this as a part-time gig. I used to teach at the university
in the Netherlands.
Yes. I taught at the university for almost 10 years. And I started editing, well, before I became an official business. In the Netherlands, you actually register, right? You register with the Chamber of Commerce. So before I made it official, I already edited like my colleagues' work, my professors' work. I translated their work. And then somebody said, you cannot do this for free anymore. You actually have to start charging people.
Yeah.
So that's when I started my editing business. And slowly but surely, I left the academic world behind. And like I've always been writing, but I focused for a long time on my academic career. But it's like there was a shift somewhere. So I gradually left the academic world behind. And then last year when I moved to Cyprus, that was like 2 weeks after my contract ended at the university. And that's when I sort of dove in. I was like, I'm going to see if I can do this full time. The writing, the editing, the coaching.
That's a really scary decision to make though.
It was, yeah. It was not just me. It was not just me moving another country, but it was like everything all at once.
Yeah, and has it worked out? Would you say?
I'm not. Even this is a crazy time, and we're currently in lockdown, so I'm not allowed to leave the house unless it's like for vital stuff like groceries. But yeah, it's like I'm very grateful to be here.
Like, what made you choose Cyprus?
Well, when did I go to Cyprus? Well, I went to Cyprus for the first time. It was my mom's 60th birthday. So every decade we celebrate going on like a holiday. So this one was Cyprus because her birthday is in November and she always wants the sun. So for, I know there's a lot of British people here, right? Like I know so many, especially Scottish people. And Cyprus is not that known in the Netherlands. It's not a very common holiday, basically, right? There's one Dutch person here, lives in the same complex as I do. It's the only Dutch person I know. So it's not a very popular destination for Dutch people. But my mom was like, she went to this, I wouldn't know how to call that in English. I don't even know if you do that. But we have, in the Netherlands, they have these things that you could just go to, like a place, and they like all the holiday destinations, they have their own stands, and you could just pick like, okay, so what's that? Like,
A travel agent.
Yeah, but it's bigger. Like all the countries are represented, different travel agencies. Okay. It's like almost like a fair, maybe.
Yeah, like we have wedding fairs.
Yes, we have the same. We also have them for holiday destinations. So my mom just was like, she went there and she was like, I need some place like where it's still sunny in November.
Mm.
So that's how she got. Like, how do you feel about Cyprus, kids? And we were like, where is that? So we went, and I never felt as inspired before in my life. It was crazy. Like every day they went out to do something fun. explore the nearest city or some churches or whatever. And I just sat at the pool with my notebook and I just wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I couldn't stop.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what, when the time came, when I was like, okay, I was going through a divorce. I was, I knew I was quitting the university. I was like, why not do that as well? Why not move?
That just sounds crazy.
It was actually, it was crazy. And I remember when I booked I've been talking about moving abroad for a long time. I've always wanted to do that. I lived in Dublin for a bit, during my master's. So I've been talking about it, but I remember when I booked the ticket, the one-way ticket, I told my mother and she was like, oh, well, that's nice. You're just gonna, oh, that's good. You're just gonna, you know, take like a few weeks, yes. You know? And I was like, no, mom, it's a one-way ticket. I don't know when or if I'll return. So even though we've been talking about it, it was quite a shock to her and to a lot of people, actually. They were like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do it.
Talking about things and actually doing them are different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I assumed a lot of people, because a lot of people do say that. I want to travel the world. I want to do this. Oh, I wish I could. And I was, at one point, I was just like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it properly. So like all my ties were being cut at the same time.
Yeah.
So I want to write a book. I can do it now. I was already writing. Yeah, I was already writing. But yeah, it did create so much more space.
Yeah.
To really focus on what I wanted to be doing. And that's been really nice.
Is the standard of living different as well? Does your money go further?
A little bit. Well, compared, so rent has gone up incredibly over the past 5 years. It's a very popular, like a lot of British people are showing up. A lot of young expats as well, entrepreneurs, because depending on the kind of company you have, it's kind of a tax paradise.
Right, I see. Yeah.
So there's a lot of people my age, and that's the thing. Like I met people here when I just came here, and I was like the only one who didn't set up a company here, and they were like, "Well, why are you here?" And they're all complaining about the things that don't work as well in Cyprus as they used to be, because they're like from Germany, example, or so it's very much more effective than things that run here. And I was like, no, I came here because I fell in love with the country. I don't know anything about setting up a business here. And they were just like, they picked it because of all the tax paradises. It's sunny here, like the weather is great. So, and I actually fell in love with the country. And then I was just like, I'm just going to go and I was just going to see.
So it's working out for you so far.
Yes, I would definitely say. Like I do, travel to the Netherlands a bit when I can, but it always feels like coming home. Like I cannot wait to get back on that plane.
Brilliant. So tell us about your books then. You write nonfiction. Your nonfiction. What I'm aware of.
Yes, well, that's actually the funny thing is because when I did move here. So that was February 2019, end of the month. I wouldn't consider myself a nonfiction writer. That literally happened while I was here. The ideas just came to me. And I don't know if it's just a combination of finally having the time to focus on these kind of things or finally having the brain space to let all these things like bubble to the surface. Mm-hmm. But most, like everything I've published in the, not nonfiction wise, everything I've published over the past year, all those ideas sprung. It came to me when I was already here. So that's what I said, like it's a very fruitful environment for people who are writers.
So how many books have you got?
I'm losing count, to be honest. especially because this year I told myself I'm going to publish a book every month.
Yeah.
And that can be anything, right? It can also mean like a translation of a book.
Okay.
So I've been delving. I'm trying to be very curious about the process. I'm doing things that I just want to do just to see what happens. So I have my big journal, 52 weeks of writing. I have one tarot book with 21 spreads for people who are writers or creatives. Like if you have like creative struggles, there are spreads in the book that will help you sort of, you know, tune in with your intuition and then know where you have to go or what kind of answers you need to have. I do tarot challenges. I did them on Instagram and then I started putting them into like little booklets. So how many of those? I have four of those and I have a tarot book and I have the journal.
What are tarot challenges?
Tarot challenges. That's a very Instagram thing. A lot of tarot readers do them. So it's basically, some of them do them every month. It's just a month that has a theme and every day there will be questions on Instagram and people just follow along. So there's like prompts around the theme. So I'm currently doing one that's called Speak Your Truth, which is for writers and creatives. So it's all about why you're not speaking your truth. What is blocking you? When was the block? When did the block first arise? Whose voice do you hear when you draw this card? Like who comes to you? Like who was the one who created the block or who said these words to you that have turned this into such a block that you no longer know, or you no longer have the courage to say what you need to say? What is it that you need to say? Why are you the person that has to say it? So that's the topic I'm doing now.
That sounds so like Anna an hour sort of thing. That does. We'll have to have a look at that.
Yeah, so that book comes out 1st of April.
Okay.
So that's my latest.
We sometimes use cards, you know, to all sorts of, not just tarot cards, but all sorts of cards to have a look at and see what is going on in our lives. So that sort of thing would just be...
But that's the thing, like I call them tarot, like everything I like all these books I call tarot books, but I also say that's even in my Amazon description, right? You can use whatever. Like I have oracle cards, I have angel cards, I know people who use crystals. I wouldn't know how to do that, but apparently certain, like you don't want to see my collection of crystals. I brought them all from the Netherlands. including a one that's 7 kilos.
Right. What sort of crystal is that?
That's a citrine.
Okay.
It's like sunshine. It's very yellow. It's gorgeous. So some people use that. Other people use runes. I have no idea about runes.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can use the prompts with everything, but yeah. I just call them tarot because that's such a, like I do the same. Like when I look for a particular spread, I'll go on Pinterest and I'll do tarot spread for the new year, for birthdays, and then I use whatever cards I want to use at that time.
It's a way of tapping into your creativity.
Yeah. For me, it's the fastest way to know what your intuition wants you to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us about your fiction then.
For the longest time, I've been working on a YA fantasy series. Like literally started writing them when I was 14, which is almost 20 years ago. And that's something like I lost sight of that a little bit over the past, like with everything going on, like me quitting that job, going through a divorce, moving to Cyprus. So this year, I decided to start rewriting it again. I'm going through the fifth draft right now of the first book. So that's something I've been doing every week. I have a bunch of people who get an email every Sunday with a chapter that just keeps me accountable. It kind of feels like that's the thing I need to write. You know, you all have like when I think about fiction, there's like so many stories I could tell, but this is the story I need to tell. I don't care how much, like whatever else I'm going to write, this is the story. I've also co-wrote a romance with a friend. Very much started off as a bit of a joke. So it's under a pen name, Heather McLee. Started off as a bit of a joke, but also because this friend of mine, we've done anthologies together for minority voices. So we have an anthology on bisexuality. We have an anthology on transgender, non-binary, and queer. I'm not sure whether there's going to be any more anthologies because it's a non-profit project, so all the books are for free.
Is that fiction?
It depends. Like the bisexuality one was a lot of fiction stories that people, because we just ask people, right? It's we wanna the anthologies are meant to be stories about minorities by the minority.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first one was I think mostly, or maybe actually all of them, all of the submissions were fiction. But then the second one was geared towards transgender, non-binary and queer people. And when we got the submissions, at first we were like, what are we going to do? Because so many of them were personal stories.
Right.
So at first we were like, what are we going to do? Because this was supposed to be a fiction project. But then we realized, well, we wanted to give a platform to people. So if this is what they need to share with the world, then who are we to say, sorry, this was a fiction project. Like, if this is the story they need to voice right now, we're going to include those voices. So we just picked the best of those. And some of them were fiction. Some of them were very personal. That's a bit more of a mix. But yeah, we did decide, like, if you want to do a platform for people, you're not going to be like, no, this doesn't fit. No, if this is the kind of story they want to, if this is what they need to tell the world right now. So this is how, to come back to the, I told you, I tend to drift a bit, to come back to the romance. I've taught courses on representation at the university for about 10 years. So a lot about minority representation. How do you do that well? I was part of the media department at the university. So we wrote a lesbian romance, because there's a lot of male-male romance right now. It's like a booming business.
Yeah.
But FF romance, female-female, that's very, very, that's still not as big of a thing. So we wanted to write stories that were realistic, because the stuff that we read ourselves, not very realistic. Some of it is, but not all of it. So that's how we got to write that. That was a really fun project, and we wrote a trilogy.
That sounds really useful, though, for people who are wanting to include those elements in their own books.
Yeah. That's another project I've been working on. I want to write, because I've been teaching about this. I want to write a nonfiction book about representation.
Yeah.
It's like, these are the stereotypes. These are examples of authors, or even in the film industry, of how you can do it well.
Yeah. Because there's a real fear of getting that wrong.
And yes,
from people who are conscientious, but then there's also the really bad stuff that people write.
Yeah, so for me, and that's definitely because this book is partly exists already, right? It's one of my many, many Scrivener projects. I do say, like, the biggest thing you can need to take away when I get to publish that book is trying, always try, but be conscious of what you're doing. Mm. So my book is not meant to say that this book, the intention is not like, okay, so you can write about this and you cannot. Like, I really don't think it'll be a good thing if people are just writing about themselves.
Yeah.
Because that's going to give us very narrow, boring books, right?
Yeah.
But if you do want to include certain minorities, I just want people to be aware of, okay, so these are the stereotypes you often see. Some people might not even be aware that there are stereotypes. These are things that often happen when we try to include minorities. Be aware of this.
Yeah, the dangers.
Yes, and then, you know, once you're aware of the dangers, try to implement them. And also remember, you're not going to make everybody happy. Like, what one, let's say you include a lesbian character, right? There's going to be lesbian readers who are like, oh, this resonates so much. I really love how this character is done. And there's going to be lesbian readers who are like, I do not understand this character. Yeah. This is so stereotypical. Because, you know, every minority includes so many diverse people in and of itself. So you cannot even make everybody happy.
Yeah.
And some people are more like the stereotype, and some people are not at all.
Yeah.
So there's also, you cannot do it wrong, like, across the board.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are certain pitfalls that you can avoid, or at least be aware of. So that's one of the projects I'm working on. That's going to be a big one, I think.
That sounds really useful for people, for any writers.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, because I do think we do need more diversity and from diverse authors as well, not just, you know, not just this, not just the norm writing about more diverse characters, but also we need more diverse, because even though it is changing, like they call it in academia, they call it the sea of white.
Yes.
Like when people enter a room, there's still so many white people, for example, and there's still more men as well.
Yes, certainly.
Yeah, the higher still up more straight even. People. Yeah, so that's it needs to shift on all levels. But yeah, just one of the projects. This is the thing about living in Cyprus. I'm never bored, and like inspiration strikes me all the time, which is also a challenge because there's so much you can do. There's so many things I want to write on and share information on. So it's about picking the right thing at the right time.
And you've got the sun and the sea.
I do. I'm not allowed to go near the sea right now though.
No, that's torture. That's really torture.
I can see it though. I have sea view.
Oh, that sounds nice.
I do. Yeah. So, it's not a bad life.
So do you normally go to the beach to write?
Depends, because what we do have here is we get winds. They can be a bit tricky. But I remember, and people who follow me on Instagram have seen this, I do like to get my notebook, and then there's... So I feed cats, right? I'm part of a charity organization, and we feed cats. So when I go to the beach, usually I carry cat food with me. So and all these cats know me. So the feeding station I do mostly is right next to a hotel. But the hotel's been closed for, they're going to refurbish the whole thing, like the whole interior. So now they have this lovely stretch, you know, of grass where you can sit. So I love to sit there underneath a palm tree, and then I'll just have random cats around me.
Don't miss it on your notebook.
They want to be on my lap. They want to be on my notebook. They love my pencil.
Yes.
But eventually they tend to just snooze in the sun. So they're just scattered around me. One of them loves to go inside my bag. I don't know why. She always tries to get inside my bag.
She wants to go home with you.
I guess so. Her name's Susie. Susie Q is her name. She's lovely. But yeah, so I do like that. I do like to sit at the beach.
Do you write every day?
I do not. That's a tricky thing. I tend to say, because I also have this accountability group on Facebook. And I always say, and I also say this in my coaching business, writing is whatever you do every day.
Yeah.
Right. To get your career forward. So it doesn't always mean words on the page, right? Okay. I've had clients who are like, I didn't get my writing done because I spent 3 hours going back and forth with the cover designer on my cover, and I feel like I wasted this day. And I'm like, but did you, like, you've not been staring outside doing nothing, or you haven't been Netflixing, right? You haven't been binge watching anything. You've been doing something that takes you forward.
Yeah.
So I do. So I would say yes. Then I do write every day. Like I create something. I work towards. You work towards creating more and more every day. Yeah.
And what do you say to your clients? Do you tell them to write every day, or do you go with what works for them?
I go with what works for them.
Yeah.
Because I have clients who could easily write 5,000 words a day if they want to. And they have different struggles than people who have 10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest thing for me, and that I tend to have somewhat of an unpopular opinion sometimes, because there's always this kind of, like, this is the thing we especially, because I work a lot with self-published authors. And even though most of us started self-publishing, because it gives us a kind of freedom, there's still these kind of discourses that pop up. This is how you should be doing it.
Yeah. Yes.
And that, which is exactly the reason why we are critical of traditional publishing, right? Because they we don't want people to tell us how we should do it. So yeah, I like breaking some of those unspoken rules. Or the unwritten rules, like they are spoken very, people are very
too often
about them, actually. Yeah. So yeah, I do. That's one of the reasons I also published that 52 weeks of writing, because it's not about everybody getting 5,000 words done a day. It's about figuring out what you can do with what you have.
Yeah.
And being honest about that as well.
Yeah.
Like if you're a bit of a slacker, it's going to be easy. You say, oh, well, I can just do 100 words a day. No. If you can do more, see what happens if you push yourself. If you're not going to get anywhere else, like maybe 100 words a day is actually your limit. That's fine. Depends on your circumstances. But I think it's very counterproductive if you constantly feel like you need to be doing it a certain way, and you need to be writing so many times a week or so many words per day, every day. I think that's actually very counterproductive to your creativity. It's all about finding a system that works for you.
Yeah, I agree. I think so as well.
Yeah, it's not a very popular opinion, I know that. But yeah, that's what my whole coaching is based on. And I do, like, everybody who shows up on my virtual doorstep, they're like, I'm not doing it right. I don't know how I can do it right. Like, everybody's doing it like this. And I'm like, well, first of all, only the three most vocal people are doing it like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because if the people who are not doing it like that, they're not opening up.
Mm. So how do you celebrate success?
Well, usually I go to the beach and I feed my cats and it's in the sun. That's what I do a lot. Well, recently I had I did a big celebration recently because with my company turning 6 years old, I did a month-long giveaway. And I had the aim that I wanted to give. So I was giving free copies of all my ebooks for like 5 days of this and then 5 days that, 5 days that book, 5 days that book. Right? That's what Amazon allows. So my aim was for every book to reach 100 copies. So my 52 weeks of writing, author, journal, and planner, in the end, I gave away 1,107 books
in
5 days. And that for me was a staggering number, right?
Yes.
So I did go out, because it's Lent here right now. They're very, it's a very Orthodox country. So what they do is they fast. And when they fast, their food is almost vegan. So I can go to every bakery and there will be cake or pie. Because I don't eat a lot of cake and pie as a vegan. So I did go and I bought some scrumptious, they call it duquesa. And I just bought some scrumptious, it's chocolate with biscuits and then a layer of chocolate sauce. And I was just like...
Lovely.
That's what I did to celebrate, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And where do you get your support from?
My support? Online community, very important. My current partner is the most supportive person. I'm not used, like I'm very, I tend to be the support. I tend to be the rock.
Yeah.
So I'm not very used to receiving support in intimate relationships. So my current partner is very supportive, loves everything I do, is also the one who reminds me to celebrate.
Yes.
So we do realize, like, we had the duquesa together, obviously. So yeah, like every little win, she was the first to like do like a little dance.
Brilliant. Yeah.
So that's very, yeah. But it's also the online community, very much. For me, a life changer was the 20 Books to 50K conference in Edinburgh.
Yes.
Yes.
I went to that.
We didn't run into each other.
No.
Did you not see the crazy girl with the tarot cards in the corner in the castle?
No.
Oh, that was me. I was reading everybody's tarot cards.
It was, to be honest, the Edinburgh one was a bit strange, not strange, but I co-write with someone, and it was a place where we could actually meet up because she's from the US living in Italy. So, yes, so it was a big thing meeting up with her, actually. So I spent a lot of time with her, so I didn't do the...
Well, I also, like, I finished, I met with my co-writer as well, who's in Canada. So we did some writing on our romance as well. But I was also writing, I was writing my first two tarot books at the time. And at one point I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to bring some of my tarot decks to the castle. Just find a nice quiet corner. And I'm just going to see what happens. And I have my computer. If everybody thinks I'm crazy and they don't want to interact with me, that's going to be fine. I'll have my laptop. But it was like, it was the castle we did the last part of the writing retreat in.
Okay. So I didn't do the writing retreat, which is why I didn't see you.
Conference. Yeah. I was going to do it for 2 hours. I spent doing it for 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really good fun.
Yeah.
But that gave me the courage to actually being with those people and seeing how they responded. Because I just tested like the tarot spreads I was going to publish. That's what I did.
Yeah.
And just seeing their feedback and just having so many people tell you, this is great stuff, you need to publish. Yeah. So I did a writing, with my co-writer, we went up to the north of Scotland afterwards for a week to write together. More writing retreat, why not? And that's actually when I published the first, and then 2 weeks later I published the second book. So it was for me that kind of support and knowing that what you're doing is wanted, that made me hit publish.
Special group of people though, I think.
I very much think so, yeah. And I still do, like I do it like with some of the people I met in Edinburgh, we meet every day for 2 hours and we write.
Brilliant.
Right now, just because of Corona.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's this very special group of people. So yeah, support, like finding your community.
Yeah.
And I know so many people who don't have supportive spouses. That's very important.
Yeah. Yeah. That must be so hard. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really glad that I now have somebody who's sort of thrilled every time I have an idea. And we did actually, the first tarot book I published has her picture. She's a photographer. So book we published, it's Get Out of Your Own Way. That's the first book.
Oh, well, I think it helps that she's creative. The same with my husband, he's creative. So they understand. Understand that need.
They understand the process. They also understand that sometimes you need to be in your own zone.
Yeah.
And process the whole thing. So we're going to do another one this year together with pictures as well. So it's been nice having that kind of... like what you said, like somebody who is doing the creative thing and who knows the process.
Yeah.
I think they'll give you a bit more leeway.
Yes.
When you're not being, sociable or going through one of your crises which we all do.
So to finish off then, just tell people where they can find you and your books.
All the places. My website is mswordsmith.nl. You can find my books there as well. There will be links to all the Amazon shops. That's the easiest way actually to do it. Because all the pages include links to all the Amazon shops. I'm currently only on Amazon, but I'll soon be going out of KDP. And then I'll start, because of popular demand, I'll start selling the PDFs of my books through my website. So that's going to happen in the coming 3 months as I pull them out of KDP one by one. I'm very active on Instagram. Mariella S. Smith, and I'm also active on Facebook, Facebook/MS Wordsmith, and I do have an accountability group on Facebook called The Accountable Wordsmiths, and everybody is, if you need some kick in the butt in a very loving and a safe space and environment. Like we're all, like nobody's showing off. Nobody is telling other people how to do it better. It's a very loving community. You're very welcome to join us there as well.
Oh, thank you, Marielle. Thank you for having me. Such a great interviewee.
It's been exciting. I know it's the first one, so I'm quite excited about that. I feel so honoured.
Anna, hope you enjoy it. Okay. Bye.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.